But if you're not well, you are inflamed. If you have brain fog, you're inflamed. You're neuroinflamed. If your joints hurt all the time, you're inflamed. So if you're not well and struggling, you're inflamed.
Hey there, welcome to the Biohacker Babes podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Renee, a certified nutritional consultant with a master's degree in nutrition.
What's up? And I'm Lauren, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and Czech movement specialist. We're sisters and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
Our mission is to provide actionable steps so you can optimize your health, strengthen your intuition, and support your body's natural healing abilities. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 244 of the Biohacker Babes podcast. I will be your co-host today. My name is Renee, and I have my beautiful sister across the country. Hello, Lauren.
What's up, everybody? I'm Lauren, tuning in from Hartford, Connecticut today. It's a beautiful day. I'm in my hotel room and I have this like peacock blue background, which I feel like is my power color. Love this color. I had a bedroom painted this color once. So in the hotel room, all the biohacks. Got my Thera-O3, my red lights, my motion sensing night lights. It's all hacked.
Yeah.
My computer's on top of a pot.
Oh my gosh.
Push my desk away from the wall, facing the window. It's like the room is fully biohacked.
You could do a how to biohack your hotel room video.
Yeah.
Or podcast.
Yeah. I'm still figuring out some things, but I've done pretty well.
Yeah. You've learned a lot.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Okay. We have a guest coming on for you today, Dr. Efrat Lamandre. We had such a good time with her. I was like dying laughing at times. And I also learned a ton from her. She's doing amazing work in the functional medicine, health optimization space. And today it was hard, but we wanted to focus on one thing for you all just to really do a deep dive. And we decided to do that on autoimmune conditions. If you're not familiar with what that is, basically think of it as like your body is attacking itself. And that can show up in many different ways in the body. There are over, I believe, 100 autoimmune conditions, with some of the more popular ones that you've probably heard of, like Hashimoto's, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, but it's MS. Yeah. It's, you know, it can be a confusing space. And she gets into that a lot, but also the importance of finding this root cause approach, which she does. And so I think you'll learn a lot and you're going to really have a blast listening to this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one for, I think, your partner, your entire family, your friends. We are in this epidemic of having over-activated immune systems because of the environment that we live in. Of course, our food supply quality is going down. There's a lot more that is against us in terms of environment. And environment is a huge trigger for autoimmunity. So we're going to talk about inflammation, environmental triggers, nutrition, about stress, and maybe some hidden underlying stressors that could be contributing to this. Because your genes are not set in stone. It is all about like what are we doing to trigger the genes to express. So a lot of agency and empowerment here. And she's super fun. Just want to hang out with her. So we hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about her.
All right. Dr. Efrat Lamandre is the founder of The New Method, where she empowers patients to finally realize that their symptoms are not in their head. She helps people optimize their health, prevent illness, reduce medication, and feel great by getting to the root cause of their illness. She also wrote a book called It's Not in Your Head. Your body doesn't feel right, but you don't know why. Dr. Lamandre owns a primary care practice called EG Healthcare, a medical scribe company, Hawk Scribes, and an education company, EG Prep. All right, let's go ahead and bring Dr. E on. Welcome, Dr. Efrat Lamandre, to the Biohacker Babes. Thanks for joining us today.
It's an honor.
So excited to have you here because we're big fans of what you're doing. Your podcast is awesome. You're just educating the world about such important topics in health. And we were kind of laughing before. We're like, we could talk about anything with her. So to not make this a six-hour podcast, we thought, let's kick off with autoimmune disorders, autoimmune conditions. You know, I think around 50 million Americans are suffering with autoimmune conditions. That was at least a late statistic I found. And I think, unfortunately, traditional medicine doesn't have a lot of answers with that. They might have some treatments, but they're definitely not looking at the root cause approach that functional medicine can bring. I know you've done some podcasts about this. I'm going to just do a quick plug for your podcast. I love how like they're quick, 20, 25 minutes. So definitely our listeners, go check that out if you want to look for a specific topic that we don't cover today. But to kick it off with autoimmune conditions, I think, where do we begin? Do we begin with lab testing, symptoms? Mm. Like, how do we start for people suffering with this?
Yeah, I love this question. It's a really good question. So I guess it starts, it depends where your listener is. Some of your listeners are already diagnosed, in which case the question is, how do I manage it? And some of your listeners are like, I really think I have an autoimmune issue. Like my grandma has Hashimoto's, my mom has Hashimoto's, I have all the symptoms, but every time I go somewhere, I'm told I don't have it. So depending on where you are on that spectrum. So if you're someone who's still on the journey, you're feeling it, you feel like you fit the profile, I would say you are correct. There is a world of what I call pre-disease, the world where you're feeling the symptoms, but your lab markers are not there yet. Technically, that term is called seronegative. Your serum is negative. So you could be a seronegative patient. Every doctor you go to is going to be like, you don't have the thing, but eventually you will, right? And we have that in diabetes. In diabetes, we know that we have a test called an A1C called pre-diabetes. So we could say, yes, you have prediabetes. Your A1C is a 5.8. It's not yet a 6.4, which is diabetes. But we don't have that in autoimmunity. We don't have a pre-autoimmune marker. So it is my contention, and I try to educate other colleagues as well, that the symptoms are the marker. Right? If a woman comes in and says, I'm gaining the weight. I promise you I'm not eating. I'm gaining the weight. I'm exhausted. My mother has Hashimoto's. You have Hashimoto's. I get it that your TSH is normal. So for that population, I would say keep fighting the fight, listen to your inner voice, find a provider that believes you and does either other testing or has different conversations with you. And for those people who have autoimmune issues, depending on what autoimmune issue you have, some really and truly require medications, and like opting out might be a little dangerous. Hashimoto's is one of those. You probably do need some medication, but getting to the root cause, which we could explore in a moment, will help you from needing more and more medication. So, you know, the goal might not be curative, although depending, sometimes we can catch it really early, but the goal could be management so it doesn't get worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You mentioned genetic predispositions being a huge driver of this, but we know it's not the sole cause. You could have the genetic predisposition and never awaken that gene. What are the other parts of that stool that, like, if we kick the stool over, it's going to happen? Yeah. Stress, inflammation. Love what it. Are the big things that you're seeing contributing?
I love that question. I'm going to go back to diabetes because it's something that people are familiar with, right? So just because grandma has diabetes and you might carry that gene doesn't mean you're going to have diabetes. You still need to eat the pizza, right? A lot of pizza. So what do we learn from that, right? If I'm saying grandma has diabetes and you have the gene for diabetes, and if you never eat a carb, let's just say for hyperbole's sake, you won't get the diabetes. So what do we learn from that? We learn that the genetic predisposition loads the gun, but the environment, which includes how you live, what you're exposed to, pulls the trigger. So you still need to add the environmental, let's just call them toxins or the things that inflame, to turn on that genetic predisposition to express the gene of the disease. And that's important, because if we're walking around thinking I'm destined to have it, there's nothing I can do, well, then there really is no point in listening to any of our podcasts, right? sit on the couch and just let the disease come. So you're not destined to have it. It just means you are more likely to have it, but there's a lot that you can do to prevent and control. Love that question.
Yeah. And believing in that predestination is an interesting piece, because that mindset, I think, is stressful, and stress ends up being a huge trigger for this. So it actually works against you. Like, in some ways, I don't know, like the innocence of not knowing your genetics sometimes can work for us. Like, how do we meet that balance of understanding the predispositions without becoming them or identifying with them? It can be such a tricky balance for people.
It's a really, really good question. And what you really introduced there is that piece that a lot of people are missing, which is the mindset piece, right? If we're just looking at social media, we could be led to believe that as long as our plate is on point and we are taking 50,000 supplements, that's it, we're good, right? But that mindset piece is critical on every part of it. So you're right. If you really, truly believe you're going to have this thing, your brain listens to you. Right? Your brain's going to be like, okay, I guess we have this thing. This must be really important for Susie because she keeps thinking she has it. So let's just make sure she has it, right? And yeah. Also, so not only that, but you might make subconscious choices to make that happen. Like if you believe you're going to have diabetes because of grandma, you're probably going to be more likely to partake in certain things that are going to bring diabetes because you're like, well, you know, it's kind of inevitable. I might as well have the muffin. So so definitely, you're right. You want an awareness that so you could learn the most about it and prepare yourself. But you also want to be really mindful of your messaging and have a conversation of like, I will beat the odds. You know, I won't, you know, I'm, this does not have to define me. And, I won't, when I try to have like mindset conversation, I don't even try to introduce, I don't want to say I won't have Hashimoto's because your brain hears I'll have Hashimoto's, right? The brain doesn't hear the no, it doesn't hear the not, right? So you say, I am healthy. My thyroid is healthy. So you want to give it like positive conversations because that the brain listens to positive. It doesn't hear the not or the no.
Yeah. I've personally struggled with fatigue. That was like a big part of my health journey. And I used to say, I don't want to be tired. I don't want to be fatigued or whatever. Yeah. And then someone caught me saying that and I flipped the script. And so now I say, I want to feel energized. I want to feel vitality. I want to feel vibrant. And it's amazing what that mental shift does. And another interesting story, I actually, by accident, I got the ANA test and it came back positive. And the dietitian that went over my labs, she said, I'm not going to recommend any further testing because it means you have an autoimmune condition and you're just going to stress yourself out and make it worse. That was her answer. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, shouldn't we like look at the root cause or something? But she half had it right that like thinking that all the time could mentally stress you out. I agreed with half of that. But just saying like you have it, sit back and relax, I also didn't agree with. So
I had the flip of that because mine was negative and some people could go, oh, I never have to worry about this. It's not necessarily true because it's so downstream. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough call for clinicians and it's really, really patient dependent. So let's talk about your ANA and let's talk about, you know, Lauren's kind of seronegative situation. So ANA, I'm sure many of your listeners are positive ANA because they're searching. ANA is kind of like in conventional medicine, it's the beginning of the conversation of autoimmunity. In conventional medicine, right, let's put aside what we just said about like Lauren's case. Conventional medicine, if you don't have ANA, you don't have autoimmunity, there's no need to even have the conversation. It's kind of like it's the first part of the algorithm. No means you're crazy. Go, you know, it's in your
leave
head.
Leave the office. Out of here.
Yeah.
And yes means you probably have something. But after that, and I imagine this is why your dietitian said that, after that, the journey to diagnosis can take a decade. Because the positive ANA, you can be positive for years and nothing else will pop up. And in essence, being that seronegative with the exception of the ANA, you have nothing pop up. Or you could have some markers. The autoimmune testing is not very sophisticated. It's not like HIV. I have it. I don't have it. It's not like that. It's like I'll have a few things lit up. And then with your clinical presentation, the rheumatologist can, like, with an educated guess, say you have this, right? Except for very, very late stage autoimmunity, which is like everything's like green, 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 green. Oh, yeah, you have lupus. But this is one of the reasons autoimmunity takes a really long time to diagnose. So your dietitian's like, there's kind of no point in testing because she's thinking, well, the likelihood that you have all the markers, probably not because you'd be markedly unwell. And now it's to set you on a journey for stress and it doesn't give you root cause. All it says is we think certain things are happening, but it doesn't give you root cause. Root cause analysis, we could talk about in a second, right? And then Lauren's situation is the opposite. You're right, where she's like, didn't even have the ANA. And so your symptoms don't count if you don't have the ANA. So you're dismissed and you're told it's in your head. That's why I wrote the book, it's not in your head. So you're kind of in the same boat with the exception of ANA. And what your dietitian was trying to do is save you the headache of going through the next 3 years of getting tests, being told again that you're crazy.
Got it. Okay.
That was where you were going. That's where your journey was going.
Yeah. Down the rabbit hole of
more negative
that.
And more dismissal. Yeah. And so what she was saying in essence was, I don't need more. I already know between your symptoms and your ANA, it's enough. You have an autoimmune.
Got it. So it seems like with Hashimoto's, that testing is pretty good, right? Like you have thyroid antibodies or not. Is that like a better test versus like the lupus and MS and RA testing?
It is a better test. What's not good about it is how the order of the test in primary care. Let me tell you what I mean. So the order of the test in primary care is you only test a TSH, a thyroid stimulating hormone. And then you will only test antibodies if those are abnormal. Just as a recap for your viewers, your listeners, a TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, when it's high, it means your thyroid is struggling. Your brain is trying to stimulate your thyroid. Thyroid stimulating hormone. It's like, please wake up. Please wake up. You are underactive. Please wake up. So your higher your TSH, the more underactive your thyroid is. So in conventional medicine, you always do a TSH on your annual. If that TSH is normal, your brain is not telling your thyroid to wake up. There is an assumption that there is no thyroid issue. If your TSH starts to creep up, then I say, oh, okay, the thyroid issue, let us now do the antibody test to see if it's Hashimoto's. So that's how the testing goes. But the biology goes the other way. Biology is you will have antibodies for years, for decades before your TSH shifts, right? So that means every time I go to the doctor, my TSH is normal. I could already have Hashimoto's and not know it. So the better way to do it is to test antibodies. And if the antibodies are normal, I would say to you, hey, Lauren, hey, Renee, you have antibodies, you're cooking Hashimoto's, your thyroid's still good. It's still, the TSH is normal. We don't need medication, but you're on your way to needing medication. Let's intervene now. The reason conventional medicine doesn't do that is because the intervention is not medicine. Conventional medicine can only intervene once they're ready to give a prescription, and that only happens when the TSH is high. When we have antibodies, the conversation is, let's talk about your nutrition. Let's talk about inflammation. And conventional medicine doesn't have room for that. So to your question, it is a much better test, but we do it in the wrong order.
I wonder if that will change in the future. No, okay.
It will not change. Because, oh my God, you sure?
There's no money to be made off of eliminating gluten, dairy, looking at heavy metals. Where's the money?
Correct. By the way, I teach every spring in our local college here, healthcare policy and finance. So this is like, yes, correct. It's not malicious. Your doctor's not the one who's like, oh, this malicious person doesn't want to do it. But the doctor just learned an algorithm.
Totally.
The system, and it's really important because sometimes we get mad at the doctors and they are just as much victims. The system only reimburses for illness. It does not reimburse for unwellness, right? I have a thyroid issue. I can diagnose it. There's a code. I can medicate. Great. I can code. I can get paid. If you have a normal thyroid, and I'm going to spend time talking to you about gluten, I'm not getting paid for my time. There are no codes for this conversation. So the system is designed not to do that. And the other part of it is, it would be lovely to do antibody testing on everyone, but most people will be negative, and that's a waste of money for the whole system. So it's not going to change. It's still going to go this way. You know, if TSH is high, then antibody. So you need to be a savvy consumer and say, listen, this is what's going on in my world. I am really asking you to do antibodies. And most clinicians, if you ask very directly and nicely, will do it for you. If they don't and you ask nicely, then you should probably leave.
Good advice. So maybe we can circle into the nutrition and the root cause. Where do we begin with that? Is there any lab testing, or do we just start cleaning up the diet?
Good question. And by the way, for those of you actually watching this, I have a tissue because I have really bad allergies today. So I apologize for the visual.
Really bad right now. Really bad.
Really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Even in Vegas, we have like this weird dust that kind of comes out in the air every spring. Yeah. It's like, it's not so pollen. I don't know what it is, but yeah. That's what... Yeah. If I go outside, I'm like blowing my nose. It's awful.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So where do we start? Since you mentioned Hashimoto's, let's go with that one. Cause that one's super direct. There is no question that if you have Hashimoto's, you have a gluten sensitivity. There is no question, period, full stop. Gluten, so that means that you probably have a leaky gut, and now you've become sensitive to gluten. That does not mean you have celiac, which means you'll go to GI. He or she will say, you don't have celiac, you're crazy. Your biopsy will be negative. Your blood work will be negative. Awesome, great. But you are gluten sensitive.
Yeah.
Non-celiac gluten sensitivity, NCGS. That is what you have if you have Hashimoto's. Really, period, full stop. So your gluten's going into your system. The gluten protein shares a molecular similarity to a particular enzyme in your thyroid. And so as your body develops antibodies to the gluten protein, it is at the same time developing antibodies to your thyroid. It's a process called molecular mimicry. So every time you're eating your very healthy seeming whole wheat sandwich with turkey, because you think you're on point trying to lose weight because you're gaining weight from those Hashimoto's, you're actually creating more fire towards your thyroid. So if you're cooking Hashimoto's or have Hashimoto's, you have to omit gluten, because otherwise what will happen is you will every year need a higher dosage. And like, what's going on? Why is my dosage higher? Why did I start at 25? I'm at 225. Because you never eliminated the root cause. So with Hashimoto's, it's almost linear. It's gluten. And then you might also have other foods that you don't associate with gluten that cross-react. For example, for some people, like legumes, quinoa, the body processes those as gluten similar. That requires some food sensitivity testing, but I'll get to that. So in general, you're asking me, what nutrition should I have for autoimmunity? I try to really minimize lab testing until we hit a wall, like functional labs. They're very expensive. They sometimes lead you in a funky direction. So you know, after you spent all this money, you might be like, oh my God, I don't have an answer. So you really want to make sure that you did everything possible not to need it. That's how I approach, which just means let's just clean up. Let's go gluten-free. Let's go dairy-free. If possible, for 30 days, I like to go a little bit more restricted temporarily just to see how we feel. So this is what I do. You're going to do all your symptoms, write them all out, give them a number. Because remember, we can't track your labs. Your labs are fine. We have to track your symptoms, right? So all your symptoms, do a really good, strong elimination diet. So I actually, in my elimination diet, say no grains, no dairy. So not just gluten-free, but no grains temporary, no dairy, no legumes because of cross-reactivity. And of course, no sugar. So you're basically eating a protein, amazing veggies, minimal fruit, and of course, fats.
Is that like AIP, similar to AIP?
Without the AIP also removes eggs, right? And nightshades and nuts. I reserve AIP for my very, very ill clients. Okay. Because that is really intense.
It's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
Ooh, no eggs alone is a tough one.
No eggs and no nuts. It's like, where's your snacks? Like, what are you grabbing and going, right? Hard-boiled eggs and nuts. Like, I think I live on that. So AIP is without, for anyone listening, AIP, right, is without the eggs, without the nuts, without the nightshades. So it's basically AIP with those things in it. So you do that, and you give it a good 30 days. Like, don't be like, 1 week, I don't feel better, this is nonsense. Give it a good solid 30 days, and then re-ask yourself the same questions, give it a grade, and pay attention. Your symptoms may not have gone down to zero. Your joint pain and brain fog, maybe it didn't go to zero. This is where people mess up. Like, I still have joint pain. This didn't work. But did it get better? Did it go from a 10 to an 8? Did it get better? If it got better, we're on the right track. Maybe we need more time. Maybe we need to tweak. But we have to get out of this all or nothing mindset. So we start there. Most of the time, we're so significantly better. And which means if you're feeling better, that means you're already reversing your autoimmunity. Use your symptoms as your guide. If you're feeling better, except for maybe one or two things, whatever those one or two things are, that's when you start testing based on what's left. Right. So for example, I do everything and I still have hot flashes. Okay, hormones. I do everything, but I still have brain fog, mold testing. I do everything, but my rash is really not gone, food sensitivity testing. Right. So depending on what's left, that's when I kind of do the lab testing.
Mm-hmm. I love that approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's up, biohackers? I've got to tell you about this delicious drink that I am sipping on. You know we try to eat clean, prioritize pure ingredients, especially when it comes to our protein powder. If we're not intentional with our sourcing, we could be exposed to so many harmful chemicals and toxins that are hidden in what appear to be healthy and nutrient-rich ingredients. This is why I got to tell you about PW1 whey protein powder from Puri. Puri is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants. It's also free from hormones, GMOs, and pesticides. Bonus, it is soy-free and gluten-free. It has 21 grams of protein per serving, which makes it a really easy way to increase your daily intake, especially for our ladies out there. And what we all want to know when it comes to our nutrition, is it delicious? Yes, it really, truly is. I am drinking it every single morning these days. I've been pretty much drooling over the bourbon vanilla flavored protein powder in my morning nutrition stack. It's great in my coffee, my home-crafted smoothie, and actually works really well just in my shaker bottle with water. These ingredients are so simple. There's no added artificial sweeteners, so none of the bitter, cringy tastes that come along with a lot of healthy powders. It's just pure and so yummy. Puri is pure origin, potency, and peace of mind. They believe in full transparency with all of their products, including their PW1 whey protein powder. And each batch is certified by the Clean Label Project. Okay, but what does that mean? It is tested for heavy metals, bisphenols, residual solvents, and all of the other yucky stuff we do not want in our bodies. Lastly, every Puri product comes with a QR code with those specific batch test results, so you know exactly what you're getting. Of course, we always want to educate and empower you to be your own best health advocate, so don't just take our word for it. With Puri, you can find the real transparent data behind every single batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that we can easily trust. All right, so here's the details. Right now, Puri is offering our listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all of their other incredible products. Go now to our exclusive URL, puri.com/biohackerbabes, and use our promo code biohackerbabes. This will even apply to your already discounted subscriptions, and you'll get almost a third off of the price. They are being so, so generous with our audience. Go to puri.com/biohackerbabes. Do not wait. We have our promo code biohackerbabes at puri.com/biohackerbabes. This is nutrition made oh so simple. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
Yeah. I mean, you can save a lot of money that way too.
Yeah. And yeah. 9 times out of 10, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Really empowering for people to actually listen to their bodies, which may be new
for
a lot of people. Yeah.
But listen to the grades, like the gradual improvement also. That's the thing. I think people are like, this didn't work. My knee still hurts. Let me go back to gluten. But did it hurt every day?
Right.
Did you get a few hours of clarity? Right. Like all those little moments count. Yeah.
Or just grading it like on a scale of 1 to 10, because sometimes it'll go from a 7, like 10 being the worst, to a 3. And you're like, well, it still hurts. And without tracking that nuance, because your body adapts constantly. Right. So you just get used to this new normal. You're like, but it still hurts.
Yeah.
It's better.
That's exactly right. I've had patients where I have one patient I work with now for 3 years. She was so, so ill. I mean, her flare ups were daily flare ups. Like it was affecting everyone. And it took us like a year to get to a place where it was like once a week, but it was still there, right? So for someone else, they'd be like, oh, but I'm still flaring. Yeah, but from every day to once a week. And now we're at a place where we're 2 times a month. So it's still zero. It's 2 times a month and they're shorter. They're like a day or two. We're still winning, right?
Yeah.
But if we just say, oh yeah, I'm still flared, right? So it's a different shift. And we had to like, once I showed her that, she just like, it was very empowering.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's really great. That is awesome. Do you feel like autoimmune conditions are like a lot of the root causes are the same? It's just showing up differently. RA, lupus, Hashimoto's, based off of genetics, or like it's like the weak spot in the body, and that's where it's showing up.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
you're right. So inflammation is the root cause. And we'll talk about what brings inflammation, and where it shows up is your genetic predisposition.
Okay.
Right. So for some people, it'll be joint pain. For some people, it'll be eczema. For some people, it'll be brain fog. So yes, But okay. You're right, which is why this kind of sort of the same intervention works for all autoimmune, which is reducing inflammation. When I say kind of sort of, I mean like one person's source might be different. But mm-hmm. the intervention is reducing inflammation. And I say this because some people are like, oh yeah, you think gluten-free solves everything? Well, do you think in rheumatology, the entire medication is immunomodulators and immunosuppressants? So they're also using one tool for this. Just their tool is coming at the inflammation differently. Our tool is saying, let's shut off the fire. And their tool is saying, let's just suppress the fire. And this is why it works. But it's the same tool. So if someone says to me, oh, you think you just changing diet is going to solve everything? Absolutely, I do. When you take an immunosuppressant, there's different variations of immunosuppressants, different brand names, one that's a little bit better for skin, but ultimately they're all doing the same thing. They're immunomodulators or immunosuppressants, which means they don't care where the fire is coming from, right? Like eat your sugar if that's where it's coming from, stay in your moldy basement if that's where it's coming from. We don't care. We're just going to suppress it. So the symptoms go away temporarily. Usually you need higher doses because you've never removed the inflammation. So for us, it's like, okay, let's find the source of inflammation and remove it. At least, it's probably more than 50%, but at least 50% is going to be nutritional, standard American diet. But even if you're not on standard American diet, like you're someone who eats pretty well, I have a lot of patients come to me like, I've already been doing this for a while. No one comes to me straight from McDonald's. They've already been around, right? They've been to 1,000 doctors. They've listened to all our podcasts. They're like, I've already eat pretty clean. And I'll say, yes, I am sure you do. I have no doubt that you do, but you're not eating clean for you. You're not eating clean for you, right? The avocado for you might be a mess. Right. So I'll give you a case study in a moment. So nutritionally. And then after that, we come up and we figure out what other things are in your world. Are you working? Are you podcasting from your basement? That's probably where it is, right? Are you a camper? Do you have Lyme or other tick-borne disease? So once we start figuring out the source of information and we tackle that, we will see the autoimmunity go down. Now, that being said, the next follow-up question is kind of like, well, why are some people have autoimmunity? And that's because we're just like more exposed than ever. We're more exposed than ever. Our technology has evolved so greatly, right? Even something as simple as high fructose corn syrup, that's technology in one generation that took corn and figured out how do we take the sweetest part of the corn per teaspoon. That technology evolved so quickly within one generation, but we did not evolve that quickly. Human evolution is slow. So it did not evolve to process that. It did not evolve to process all the chemicals that our technology evolves. We're not evolving fast enough to detoxify everything around us, which is why more people have autoimmunity.
What's up, biohackers? Tell me if you're struggling with any of the following. Some mood swings, like getting irritated by just the simplest things in your day. Maybe you haven't been sleeping well, you've been more stressed than usual. Maybe you're craving foods that you're not as used to craving. Your skin, your hair and nails, your muscles, they feel different. Maybe your hormones feel a little out of whack. Well, let's talk about a game-changing mineral that can help with all of those things and really help you feel your best. Yep, it is magnesium. Magnesium is an absolute must for keeping our hormones balanced, for muscle recovery, for stress. But here's the thing. Most of us are not getting nearly enough magnesium from our food supply alone. And when we're deficient in this vital mineral, it really can throw our entire system out of sync. In addition to hundreds of other chemical reactions, magnesium also plays a vital role in glucose metabolism and managing symptoms across different stages of our lives, which makes it such a great support for all ages. Most favorite magnesium is Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. This unique formula contains 7 different forms of highly bioavailable magnesium, including magnesium orotate, which is fabulous for metabolic and hormonal health by supporting our sleep, our digestive health, our stress management, and so much more. You can nourish your brain and your body right now with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer, go to bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes. Use the code biohackerbabes10 for 10% off at checkout. Extra little fun detail, if you subscribe, you will not only get amazing discounts and free gifts, but you will make sure that your monthly supply is guaranteed so you don't have to wait for a port, so your sleep, your stress, your mood do not have to suffer. Check it all out at bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes. Code biohackerbabes10. Your body and your brain will thank you so much. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
Any other hidden stressors, like behaviorally or in your environment, if we've like nailed the nutrition, seemingly, I feel like we could all upgrade our nutrition. Like, is there anyone that can't upgrade their nutrition?
Good question. You're right. You're 100% right.
What hidden things we think? Air, water, body care products, household products. And then we have the bigger categories like mold, Lyme. What else could be hidden in someone that's healthy?
Central nervous activation. This is something, central nervous activation, physically you'll feel like mast cell activation. So this is something that is it's missing for a lot of people in their treatment course. So when you are unwell for a really long time, right? Patients who come to me, they've been at this for a long time. They've been struggling for a long time. Their inner central nervous system is stuck on illness. Right? It's stuck on illness. It is PTSD. Mm-hmm. And if you don't also treat that PTSD, and I'll tell you what I mean by that, you will only get so far with your treatment. So if you are the patient that's like, they're chronically ill, they're super sensitive. Like there's, they smell a candle, they get a headache. If there's just like a little bit of like some oil in something, they're out for the count. Like they're trying so hard to clean up and they've done the mold detox or they can't tolerate the mold detox because it's too much for them, right? They're super sensitive. This is the patient that's really crazy, right? This is the patient that absolutely nobody has patience for. Like you can't possibly be reacting to the Wi-Fi in the room. Oh yes, sir, I am. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Yeah.
Right?
It must be in your head, but
Must be in your head. What's happened there from years of being unwell is that the body is stuck. And I use this metaphor a lot, which is if you have a dog that has been abused and now you've adopted that dog, you're in a loving home. Every time someone slams the door, this dog is in the corner shaking. You cannot verbally tell this dog, it's good, it's safe here. It doesn't understand language. Mm-mm. All you can do is try to pet it. And show its safety And it's going to take, anyone who's had a rescue dog knows, it will take months and years for that dog to trust you. That is your central nerve. Yeah. That's your central nervous system for the chronically ill patient. It comes so sensitive. I've had patients that I can't even give them vitamin D, like the cleanest form of vitamin D. There's no fillers. It gets them ill. And that's when you know this is a triggered dog in the corner. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no supplement I can give them to go away. There's nothing else I can remove from their food. Like they're eating like spinach. Like there's nothing. Right. So these patients, you must work on the central nervous system. So I'm giving you the extreme case so you could see what I mean. But certainly all of us have central nervous activation as well when it comes to our unwellness because it's not safe. It becomes uncomfortable and our body goes into it's stuck. So central nervous system work has to happen. And that is something as simple as tapping, like somatic. There's wearables like Apollo Neuro. I'm not affiliated. I just wear it. There is Gupta, not affiliated. He has specific meditation courses specifically for the chronically ill. So it's, meditation is wonderful, but this is specifically designed for chronically ill patients. Fibromyalgia in quotes, right? Your chronic fatigue syndrome in quotes. These are the people who are stuck. Their central nervous system is stuck. And then there's also another great program called Unite, UNYTE. I am affiliated with that. And I just like to kind of be transparent. So I actually use all these modalities and these are small little exercises like 5 minutes of Unite, 5 minutes of the Gupta, the wearables you can wear throughout the day. And then over time, you start seeing that things are a little calmer. It takes time. So that is a secret thing, I would say, secret, not secret, that a lot of people are not paying attention to.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. What about,
there's also, go ahead.
I was going to say, what about like vagus nerve?
Yes.
stimulators or anything?
Yes. So Unite is a vagus nerve. You're trying to calm your vagus nerve because your vagus nerve runs from your brain in, right? So it's like, it is the gut brain connection, right? So Unite is basically, it's like music. And in the music, there are tones that you cannot appreciate consciously that actually go through the nerve in your ear. It's called Arnold's nerve, if anyone's geeking out. And then which reverberates into your vagus nerve. And that, it's basically, if you hum, if you take a moment and hum when no one's looking, like a nice deep hum, and you feel that reverberation and it's calming, right? That's where the om comes from in meditation, in yoga. It's calming. What you're basically doing is stimulating your vagus nerve to calm. When you take a deep breath, the reason it works is because you're stimulating your vagus nerve, right? So there's other ways to stimulate it. And one of it is through your ears. So yes, all of that.
Okay.
I catch myself humming sometimes or just like making noises. And when I catch myself, I'm like, oh, I think maybe I'm stressed. I'm just like subconsciously, I'm programmed to like, let's calm it down. My dog also does this.
Like, so your dog learned from you.
I learned from my dog. You know, I learned a lot from my dog. I'm like sunshine, yawn, stretch when you wake up.
I love that.
Regular activity.
I love that. This also could be something imprinted from a child. A lot of the central nervous stuff is imprinting from our childhood. So good and bad, right? Bad, not bad. You know what I mean? Good, helpful and not helpful. So the humming could have been something that you did to calm yourself as a child. And now it's just, you don't even realize that you're doing it. So it's actually really great that you have that in your toolbox. It's awesome. Hum, sister.
Hum. Sometimes I feel like a weirdo, but I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Coming. Once you're in this world, you're in the world of weirdos. It's fine.
Yeah. Proud. So proud.
Nothing is too weird now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about this like negative vicious cycle that we get with vagus nerve dysfunction and leaky gut? Because there's probably only so much tapping we can do if we're not actually healing the gut. It's just going to keep recurring, right? So how we have to come at it from both sides, a little bit of a chicken or the egg.
100%. You do it all. I mean, the central nervous and vagus nerve takes time. So you do it. I would say most of my patients are not ready right away. This is usually what happens. Oh my God, I'm so sick. I'm bloated all the time. Everything hurts. Let's start with nutrition. People are kind of ready. They kind of know they're going to step into that.
It's coming.
And I'd like to go as extreme as they will let me. You have to customize. Some people are like, hey, it's not happening. And so if we could talk you off from like down to half a sleeve of Oreos, that's good too. But generally speaking, we want to eliminate because you want to see how quickly you do well. So you should do that. And then, of course, you have to repair the lining. So that's supplements. So repairing your leaky gut is part of it is removing the things that agitate it, right? We're not going to be eating McDonald's. But then we do have to use supplements to kind of help heal it. We do at some point want to introduce probiotics. I try not to do that too soon because that can create a mess. When things are calm, we want to repopulate the good bacteria in there. And then you kind of start this place of like some reintroduction of some of the things, right? We're never going to reintroduce gluten and dairy, but it'd be nice to reintroduce maybe like chickpeas, right? Depending on how it is. So now we're in this phase and now like person's calming down. I like to say that people's health are kind of like finances. You can be in credit card debt. You could be living paycheck to paycheck, or we can talk about longevity, which is your 401k plan. So most people come to me in credit card debt. They're like, I can't take this anymore. So it's really not a place to talk about longevity, vagus nerve stimulation. Like they're just like, dude, great when you're humming, but my knees hurt, right?
Yeah.
So you have to.
Yeah, survival.
The survival. Like you hum yourself to death, right? So you have to get them out of this like acute stage. And then you're in this like living paycheck to paycheck stage, which is like one false move and I have a flare up. So not everyone's ready at that point. It depends. But that's a place where you can start having these higher level conversations like, okay, look, this is happening. This is working. This is where we're at. But every time we do this, you become unwell or we're really kind of stuck. And again, I said this is a good time for testing, but this is also a good time to have this conversation. So to your question, Lauren, you're right. It's not like we'll stop working on the leaky gut and then doing that. It is, you do have to do both, but you also have to kind of meet the patient where they are. Now, sometimes I do have a client that comes in and they're good. Like, they're ready to play the longevity game. They're like, I'm already good. What do I need to do to live to 100 and just stay focused? Mm-hmm. Then we can start right away. But all of it has to stay all the time.
And right, make it a lifestyle. Right?
It's a lifestyle. Yeah. It's part of your workout routine. It's just part of your thing. Doesn't mean you have to do it every day. It's okay. But it's like in your wheelhouse of things that you know are priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you have the predisposition. Like, this is a lifelong commitment. We can't just drop into a protocol and say, like, I'm good.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I'm curious about heavy metals. Like, do you recommend testing? I'm out of curiosity. I've been asking different practitioners, and it seems like, you know, there's the oligo scan, there's the Quicksilver thing, there's the hair analysis. Like, what are your thoughts on test? Well, one, just, is there a good test for it? And two, when do you know you need to test for heavy metals?
Yeah. So I would say all testing happens like after we stabilize, right? So once we see kind of what's left. So if you're having like neurological issues, I tend to go more mold than heavy metal, but you know, it's not impossible. I really like urine testing for that. I don't love hair samples. Hair samples are easy in the sense that you don't need a provider, right? So you could just, they tend to be companies that you could order on your own. And there is science behind it. So I don't want to like throw anyone's business under the bus, but it's just the nature of how things get into your hair. We're not really sure. Is it still a problem right now? Right? It takes a long time. It's, you know, is it still a problem? Is it possible that it's going to be positive and it's already not in my system? How much? How are we quantifying? So it's
this came out of my head a long time ago.
Yeah. It's kind of ahead a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it in your brain? Is it like lodged somewhere and not coming out?
Yeah, right. So not exactly. It wouldn't be necessarily a brain. It would be, these things tend to be more in your fat. Right. So when we're talking about mold and when we're talking about heavy metals, and there is fat in your brain, so it's not unreasonable what you said, but just want to be a little more precise in that.
Got it.
What happens with these things is that when our body can't detoxify means comes out in our poop, comes in our urine, comes in our sweat. That means it has to be water soluble. There's a process that takes every single chemical that we have, good and bad, and turns it into water soluble. When it can't, it stays stored in fat. The urine test is great because, especially if you give yourself a challenge, like a glutathione challenge before, there's different challenges for whatever you're testing for, where you're kind of forcing your body to go into the fat and detox a little bit. In fact, some people feel very unwell from the test itself because it's like this kind of rapid detox. Yeah,
the provoked.
And then you get it in the urine and you know that that is like in the past 24 hours, that metabolite. So I tend to like urine tests. I am sure there are other providers out there that will swear by hair, and I'm sure that they're correct too. It's, you know, different strokes for different folks. So I like urine tests. I happen to really like Real Time Labs. They're really good. And I like Doctor's Data, Labrics, not affiliated. So I like using their testing a lot. It's very replicatable. They have a lot of science behind it. And they also have great practitioners that you can call and ask, what's your take on here? Why did this test come out that way? And I always feel like when a company has like providers on call, not like a customer service rep, like other doctors and PAs you could talk to, it's a super valid company. I love that.
Oh yeah.
Not someone reading a script. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've had
complex issues. Like there's a supplement line called Apex and you can only get it through a provider. You can't get it directly. I've had complex patients where I will call the Apex provider and be like, what's going on here? And they will guide me. So I think that speaks volumes to the integrity of the company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I love about the Dutch test. Like, you can do
a Dutch test is great too.
30-minute consult with a physician to go over it. I'm like, that's gold.
I forgot about Dutch because I don't use them, but it is a great company.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason I use Dutch is because I tried them all. It's just because you have to pee on the thing and hang it dry. It's like a lot to ask your patients to do.
That's a fun one.
The bathroom is covered with paper pee.
I still prefer it over the stool test, though.
Stool tests are Genova is an amazing test, amazing company, but you're not wrong.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's like something. The worst 30 seconds of your life. It's so fast, but yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there's always a place for those functional labs. But just coming back to, we haven't really done a deep dive into inflammation, which is the biggest smoking gun here. Like, how do we know if we have inflammation? We don't always feel inflammation. A lot of the testing for inflammation, something like CRP, isn't always super revealing or valuable. Like, how do we know that inflammation is an issue, considering it is affecting all of us?
If you don't feel well, you're inflamed. That's it. If you don't feel well, you're inflamed. You know, and I just did a class for other like NPs in primary care, and I'm trying to teach them that. And I'm like, there's one surefire way to know if your patient is inflamed, and the answer is to listen to them. That's a surefire way. Because again, we're going back to that seronegative patient, right? My inflammatory markers may not be up. We have this, like, not us, but in the medical community, we have this arrogance to think that our testing is really sophisticated. It really isn't. I mean, it's great than it was 50 years ago, God bless, but it really isn't. It's not the be all end all. We don't really have sophisticated enough tests to tell us when someone's inflamed in a way that can really give us the picture. One, it ignores those who are inflamed and we just don't meet those parameters. Two, even if you're positive, are you positive because you have chronic inflammation, or are you positive because you just worked out? Because that can make you positive too. So those inflammatory markers are not that great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the testing, it feels validating. So for those who have it, God bless. But if you're not well, you are inflamed. Okay. If you have brain fog, you're inflamed. You're neuroinflamed. I don't know if there's a test for that. If your joints hurt all the time, you're inflamed. So if you're not well and struggling, you're inflamed. That is how you know. And then the tricky part is figuring out what's inflaming you.
Right. So yeah. What other factors should people look at? Anything with sleep or exercise, stress and trauma?
Yeah. You know, all of it. I'm glad you brought up sleep. We talked about nutrition, and we tend to focus a lot about nutrition. But sleep, this is a line I say in just about every podcast. I say, I don't care how much gluten-free ice you're eating. If your sleep is not on point, your health is not on point. Yeah. So much happens when you sleep. So much happens when you sleep chemically. It's a time where more detoxification is happening. It's the only time your brain has like a sanitation system. It's called the lymphatic system. It's the only time it's activated when you're sleeping to actually take out some of the waste that has to come out. Otherwise, it builds up. It's a time when, as adults, we create growth hormones and something called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So basically, miracle grow for your brain. It's only happening when you're asleep. It's only happening when you sleep. So if you're not sleeping, some people really have trouble sleeping, and we can talk about that, but some people really believe that they should wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get a workout in before they go to work. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not on this podcast. No, we don't.
Not on this podcast. We need to sleep.
No way.
Not going to be more productive, make more money. No. You know, the Broski podcast, like I wake up 4 a.m. and then I do a 5 mile hike upstream, like, and then
a 30-minute cold plunge.
Then a 30-minute cold plunge, 2.5 hour meditation. Now it's 7 a.m. Sir, I am sleeping.
I will never be in that club, the 4 a.m. club. No, thank you.
No. You know, it's really funny because, like, my wife and I, if you ever watch like our Instagrams, it's the only place my wife is on Instagram. So we swim in the morning, and to get to the local Y and beat like the early bird special crowd, we have to get there early. We have to get there. So it's us and all the old timers. They're our best friends. But we have to get there at 6 a.m. Otherwise, you can't get there. And I tell my wife all the time, like, I hate waking up at 5:30 in the morning to get to the pool at 6 because I feel like I've just did a trade-off. Like, I don't feel like I moved my health in the right direction. I feel like I traded sleep for this, and I don't feel that's the right trade-off. So I do it sometimes because it's the reality of, like, getting to the pool. But I always feel it's a trade-off. So that's not something I generally recommend. So sleep, so much is happening when you sleep. Good quality sleep is a huge part of it. Movement. And I always say movement, but not exercise, because I don't need you to buy an outfit. I don't need you to spend money going to the gym. You don't have to look cute. If you saw me walking, you'd be like, is that Dr. E? I'm not. There's no way she walked at our house looking like that. My wife and I, we got the hoodie on, we got the skull cap, the hoodie on, our headphones are on. We look a hot mess. And we're walking, and like, we're just walking, and then we're stretching, and then whatever that looks like for you. I have patients that cannot go down to the stop sign. That's your exercise. Get to the stop sign. Who cares if you're not in Orange Theory? I don't know why I said Orange Theory. No disrespect to Orange Theory. Like, just whatever you can do, do a little bit more. That's exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It's funny you said Orange Theory too, because I do Orange Theory, but I only do it 2 days a week. And that's the right balance for me. But it blows my mind that I talk to other people that do it 6-7 days a week.
Yeah, but yeah, you said those people disappear after 1 month.
They do tend to disappear.
They burn out and they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus you want to diversify your movement.
Yeah.
The goal of movement, like, what is the goal of movement, right? When we're in our 20s, we think the goal of movement is to look good in a bathing suit. And God bless, my kids are in their 20s, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's one goal. But the goal of movement in this world is to be able to move when you're older. Mm-hmm. To be able to, mm-hmm. if you're doing things that are injuring you, you know, you're walking around like, oh, I can't, every time I do a black workout, I'm out of commission, or I'm a weekend warrior and it takes me 4 days to recover, that you missed the point of movement. You want to be able to move so you can continue moving, right? You want movement so you can lift your suitcase overhead in the airport. You want to be able to carry your groceries by yourself when you're 85 without help. You want to be able to get on the floor. And I know that our audience is young, but these are the things you think of. You want to be able to get on the floor with your grandchildren in the future. You want to not rely on someone, which means you have to do certain things right now for that. So if you're already struggling with that, that's where you need to work. Movement, freedom of movement, flexibility, touching your toes. It's not about how many reps. It's not about how heavy. It's about, can I move? You know, can I move right now? If I already am limited right now, where will I be 20 years from now? If I already can't touch my toes, if I already struggle to lift overhead, it's no judgment. You might be going through something, but those are the things you want to think of. Don't worry about, you know, whatever. So when you said Orange Theory twice a week, that's great, because I imagine the other times of the week you're doing other things. Mm-hmm. You want to diversify that. Maybe one day it's swimming, one day it's walking, one day it's lifting. One, whatever, the more diversity, it means that you're able to move in different planes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Being able to adapt and challenging the body.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The goal is.
I always joke that I run because I'm a late person. So I'm like, I exercise running so that I can get places on time. That's and yesterday good. I was on the train. I was taking Amtrak with some coworkers, and we were like trying to push these bags overhead. And we're like, this is why we work out, so that we can travel.
That's exactly right. It's really hard. When my wife and I are in the airport, like running from one thing to the other and like carrying, I'm like, this is why we work out. This is exactly right. That's why you work out.
That's functional.
I was in Paris a few years ago, and I don't know, Lauren, I know you've been there, Dr. Yi, I don't know if you've been to that airport, but they have so many escalators, just escalators. But when I was there, they were all broken, and my suitcase was 49.5 pounds, you know, I packed to the max, and same thing, I looked at my husband, I'm like, good thing we've been, back then we were doing CrossFit, and I was like, let's go. We must have done like 9 flights of broken escalator stairs.
Oh man, you should just bring your suitcase to CrossFit. Who needs kettlebells? Like, this is the way.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. Like when you do farmer's walk, right? That's, you're doing that. I'm doing that just exactly for the airport. I'm like, I have to be able to carry my suitcase.
Yeah. But you see a lot of times on planes when people bring their carry-on bags and they cannot get their bag up. Like, usually my husband and I are like, can we help you with that?
Exactly right. And those are the things that start limiting. So then you're like, well, maybe I won't go on the trip. Maybe I won't pack so much. Maybe I won't put so much in my grocery bag. So this is how our world starts to get limited, because we're starting to think, well, I can't do this. So let me make certain choices. And that's how our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So that's what movement is about. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Everything you just said.
Yeah. I want to keep traveling the world.
I want you to keep traveling the world.
Me too.
But maybe not 49.5 pounds. Like, maybe like an overnight carry on.
I'm working on learning how to pack my clothes better. Yeah.
Renee likes to pack her whole house if she can.
I'm the worst.
But you're so fit. I try.
Mine is the opposite. I try to do, well, how much can I push into this? Only I will travel like all over the place with just the carry on. I'm like, this, I'm going to make this happen.
Teach me your ways.
Well, I also only wear like my EG Healthcare and the New Method t-shirts everywhere I go. So it's not fair. So I wear the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart.
It works.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for teaching us about autoimmunity and how to travel better.
And how to travel.
Yeah. So we want to respect your time. Two more questions. One, where can our audience find more of you?
I appreciate that. So it's Dr. Efrat Lemondre. And I know it's hard to spell, but you'll see it somewhere on your captions.
In the show
everywhere,
notes.
Everywhere, yeah. On every platform. The podcast is called The New Method. New spelled with a K, because you guys always know. You always knew there's a better way. But yeah, you'll find me everywhere. There's also a free course that I give. I really don't sell anything because what I like to do in my time is speak. So just get on there, take what you like and enjoy it.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for all that you're doing.
Of course.
Last question.
Ooh, one more question.
One more question.
If you could give our audience one final piece of advice, something that they could start integrating today to optimize their health, what would it be?
To integrate today to optimize the health.
It could be a repeat today. Or just something that feels really high priority for you.
I would say sleep. Find a way to sleep. Yeah.
Love it.
The best.
But can I do the second one is like to hug the people that you love a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get that oxytocin going.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good one. I was reading someone, I don't know who it was, someone published this long list of like life advice. And right smack in the middle, it was like, hug people longer than you think you should or want to. Like, just hold on just a little longer.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be the first one to let go. Like,
unless you have two people like that with that advice. And they're like, wait, how about now?
We've been here for an hour.
We're going to miss our pool time. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. So sleep well and go hug someone. That's your advice. Love it.
Someone that wants to be hugged, please. Just those random people.
Good asterisk there.
Little disclaimer. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dr. E. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
Just love what you're doing and really excited to share this episode with everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be here.
And thanks for everyone for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support. Until then, happy biohacking. This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.